We're going to look together and think about that passage about Thomas. Some things, you know, are too good to be true. Some things are too good to be true. So in 1957, the BBC announced that the Swiss had had an exceptionally heavy spaghetti harvest. And they showed pictures of people harvesting spaghetti from spaghetti trees. And some people wrote into the BBC and said, well, how can I get hold of my own spaghetti tree? And the BBC replied and said, the way you do that is you take a sprig of spaghetti and you plant it in some tomato sauce. And then you'll have your own spaghetti tree. It's all nonsense, of course. It was just a joke. It was an April Fool's. But that's what they said. Then in 1976, Patrick Moore, who's a famous astronomer, he announced, he used to do a show called The Sky at Night. He announced on his show that there was going to be an unusual, very rare alignment of two planets, Pluto and Jupiter, and this was going to cause a change in the Earth's gravitational field, and it would be possible just very briefly to float. And so at 9:47 a.m., he announced on the radio, jump now! And somehow, some people did and claimed that they did actually float. But I'm not sure how, because it was complete nonsense again. It was an April Fool's. Then in 1980, the BBC announced that Big Ben, the clock in London, Big Ben was going to be digitalized. And from now on, it would be known as Digital Dave. And instead of bongs, it would have beeps. Again, complete nonsense. It was all a joke. It was an April Fool's. All of those were on the BBC. And it's April Fool's Day tomorrow. So if you're listening to the BBC tomorrow, watching the BBC, just be a little bit careful. Some things are too good to be true. What about Easter? Is Easter too good to be true? We celebrate at Easter with eggs and with chicks and with rabbits and things that represent those. And that's because those things symbolize new life. Because Easter Sunday is all about the fact that Jesus was dead and he came back to life. He rose again from the dead. But is that too good to be true? Maybe some of us have questions as to whether that can be true. Maybe some of us think, well, even if it is true, so what? Is it even that good? What difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? And I think in our passage this morning, what this has been written to show us is not just that this is true, but that it is really good news as well. How do we know it's true? Well, let's consider the example of Thomas. What body parts, just going back to that question, what body parts did Thomas want to see? Got one answer here. His side and his hands. Yes, well done. He wanted to see his side and his hands. And why did he want to see Jesus' side and his hands? Oh, that's a harder question. Go on then, Tabitha. Yeah, to prove he was crucified, to prove it was him. Let's think about then what Thomas knew. Thomas knew that Jesus had died. Thomas was a follower of Jesus. He was there when Jesus was arrested. And he knew that Jesus had been crucified. That is, he'd been beaten up really badly. He would have lost lots of blood. And then he'd been nailed to a cross through his hands and his feet and left there to suffocate, left there to die. And Thomas would have known that no one survives crucifixion. Even if, for some reason, the authorities change their mind and decide they don't want you to die, people generally wouldn't survive. There are records that show, talk about the slave who was crucified, and then actually the order came through to take that person off the cross, but they died anyway, because the injuries were just so horrendous. People do not survive crucifixion. And Jesus' body had been released. Now, if you think about it, if the authorities arrest someone, they don't just then let them go. Why would they have let Jesus go? Well, they released his body because they were sure that he was dead. And therefore, there was no need to hold on to him anymore. They were sure that he was dead. And then some of Jesus' followers wrapped Jesus' body up in a cloth and they buried it in a tomb. Why would they do that to Jesus' body? Well, because they were sure that Jesus was dead. Thomas knew that Jesus had died. But Thomas also knew that dead people do stay dead, that dead people stay dead. That's what he knew as a fact. So in verse 25, when the other disciples come to him and they say to him, "We've seen the Lord," well, he doesn't believe it. You may have seen someone, but it can't have been Jesus, because Jesus has been crucified. Crucified people don't survive. They die, and dead people stay dead. And so he says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Crucified people do not walk around. And unless I can actually see those signs of crucifixion, I won't believe that he has come back from the dead. Thomas knew that Jesus had died, and he knew that dead people stay dead. And yet, Thomas saw Jesus alive. Verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Thomas saw Jesus alive. And do you remember what Thomas said? The proof that he'd asked for? Well, Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus gave Thomas the proof that he was looking for. He had been crucified, he had died, and now he was alive. And Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." And this story is recorded for us, as are the other eyewitness accounts in the Gospels, so that we can know that it's true, that Jesus really did rise from the dead. He was killed, he was buried, his tomb was found to be empty, and his followers saw him alive. And ever since then, that moment, this good news has been preached, and it's changed the course of history. So that now those followers are not just a group of people that can all huddle together in one room, but a group of people that are spread throughout the world in every country of the earth today. And history has changed because Jesus has risen from the dead. Thomas saw Jesus alive. And so we need to put our trust in Jesus. We need to believe in Jesus. Even if it's true, is it good? Even if it happened, does it matter? Does it make a difference to us? Well, Jesus says in verse 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed, fortunate, happy, well off are those who've believed. It does make a difference whether you believe or not. Because verse 31 says these things are written that by believing you may have life in his name. That by believing in Jesus we may have life, eternal life. That by believing in Jesus, death no longer holds any fear for us. If Jesus has risen from the dead, well, he's shown that death is not necessarily the end. We often wonder what happens when we die. What happens after we die? Is there life after death? And the problem is that the people that have experienced that can't tell us because they're dead. But if someone comes back from the dead, well, then we can trust and listen to what they say. And Jesus tells us that if we believe in him, we can have life. We can have eternal life. And life is not just about breathing forever. Life is about knowing God, knowing the one who made us, being in relationship with him forever. That's what is offered to us if we believe in Jesus. And the converse of that is also true. Jesus says earlier in John's Gospel, he says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have life." But the converse of that is if we don't believe in him, we shall perish and shall not have life. And Jesus has, and we have what we need to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen. We don't need to see to believe because we have these accounts that have been written for us. John says, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So let me ask you, have you believed? Have you believed? It's not enough to have family members who believe. It's not enough to have parents who believe. Have you believed? It's not enough to be aware of Easter or to be sympathetic towards Easter or respectful of Easter. It's good to be respectful of things, but it's not enough. Have you believed? We need to trust in Jesus and follow him. What might the next steps be for you if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to consider that? Well, perhaps the next step for you is to read, to find out more about Jesus. John has said that what he has written in his gospel is written so that we may believe. So why not read John's gospel? We have copies of John's gospel available. If you don't have a copy, these are available on the welcome desks. They're not very long. John has written this so that we may believe. Why not take a copy and read that? Read about Jesus as the next step. We also have available some books about Easter called Is Easter Unbelievable? It answers the questions, did Jesus really live in history? Is it fair for one person to die for another? Can a rational person believe Jesus rose from the dead? Does anyone genuinely want to live forever? Is it true and is it good? It's answering those questions. These are, again, they're free to take. Please do help yourselves. They're on the welcome desk on the way out. Maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe the next step is to come along. We meet here every Sunday. We're talking about Jesus every Sunday. Come along, find out more. We're starting a series next Sunday.